In the eastern suburbs, the National Art School in Paddington has been home to some of Australia's greatest contemporary art thinkers. Among some of Australia's most acclaimed and challenging artists has to be Fiona Foley.
When I was 24, I started to collect a lot of books, and I wanted to understand for myself about race relations in Australia. So one of the first books I bought was a book called The Destruction of Aboriginal Society by C.D. Rowley. And that led to other books, but mostly I was reading about the frontier massacres and the frontier war that had taken place here in Australia, because none of it was being taught in university settings. I self-educated myself about this history, and because it wasn't being taught in schools or university settings.
A Butchala woman whose work has been dedicated to exploring race relations, her work is being exhibited at Sydney Festival in a 30-year survey at the Old Jail.
I guess just to start off with, you yourself were a former student here, so how does it feel to be back?
Oh, it brings back a lot of fond memories, and I had the opportunity of meeting my old sculpture teacher here at the opening, Bruce McElmott, so lots of good memories from here, and just wonderful to have this opportunity to show seven bodies of work. The focus is on my photographic career, so it's been amazing and just really good to work with this institution again.
We're quite blessed these days that we can easily just look something up online. Could you talk a little bit about your research process in those earlier years?
Well, you're right. There was no Google internet search in that era. So mostly it was just reading books at home and piecing one book together with another book and understanding that history of that particular publication or the historian who was writing in that specific area. So, you know, Henry Reynolds was one of those people who was nationally recognised then, and so he was another person I read widely. There were other people that came at a later date, and when you started to engage with these publications, you realised that this was replicated from one state to the other. So Queensland was very similar to Western Australia in the way that they treated Aboriginal people during the frontier wars and how they would dispose of bodies after a massacre. So you would see this overlap in history. And for me, it was really good to have that background knowledge, because it meant that because I was clued up factually, it's very hard for non-Indigenous people to argue with me. And it has been said to me that Australia was settled peacefully, so I just know that that's not the case. So now I can easily refute that and stand on very firm ground in the knowledge that I've built up over the years.
Throughout the exhibition are some of Fiona's earlier works. A lot of it looked at the untold histories of race relations, particularly around the use of opium on Fraser Island. Upstairs, where the talk I attended was held, are some of her more recent works. One series you can't help but miss are 12 striking panels of highly stylized photographs of Black American men wearing dark leather Ku Klux Klan costumes. Here's Fiona explaining a bit about them.
Well, I created a body of work that was looking at race hatred, race politics, I call it. And I constructed a group called the Hedonistic Honky Haters. So it was playing with all of the symbolism that we're familiar with from the films that have come out of the United States in relation to the Ku Klux Klan. It was inverting all of those symbols, from the colour of white costumes and hoods to Dutch wax, black hoods and African cloth that could be bought in Harlem, from, you know, the KKK to the HHH. So I called my group the Hedonistic Honky Haters, and I used African American models to pose under the costumes for me. And really it was dissecting how this race hate group in Australia is constructed, and then using those symbols and inverting them and creating another group.
And in America, when that was first exhibited, could you talk about the reception and how it's since been received here in Australia?
Well, the work was shown in a district called the Meatworks at an international curatorial space. And really it was the people who participated in the project, so it wasn't really a clear feedback from a wider audience. It was a very select group. So when the work came back to Australia and was shown in Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne, there were different responses to the work. So my friends of colour or Aboriginal people saw the humour in the work, and white Australians were really confronted by the work because they couldn't place it. How were they supposed to read this work? So they were really relying on their emotions, and that's really how I wanted the work to be perceived, on an emotional level, and that raw response. And it really goes back to the viewer, what baggage they're bringing to the work and how they've interpreted the work. And you could see that coming out, especially with white Australian audiences.
I find it really interesting that there can be such a strong contrast in one particular work. I'm curious to ask if there have been any other works in the past that have elicited similar sort of criticisms or feedbacks and response that has been interesting for you.
There's been many works. The sculptural work Dispersed, that's on permanent display at the moment at the National Gallery of Australia, that talks about massacres, and the D has a number of 303 bullets on it. The public artwork out front of the Brisbane Magistrates Court that has 94 massacre sites etched on the public record that are etched into the pavement. So I do work to provoke people to think and to have a emotional response. Art is a form of communication. So that's how I think about using it. And it's a platform for me to say potent things. And I think as I get older, I have explored that space a lot more and don't shy away from putting these truths in the public arena.
I think that's where the best art generally does come from. Thank you so much for your words and time, Fiona.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you.